Bibles and turn with me again to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians in the fifth chapter, and as we continue our look in this summer series that we're entitling Summer Fruit, Galatians and chapter 5, and how are we doing on the memorization? Okay. The fruit of the Spirit is... That's not very good. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Today, kindness. Kindness. I'm a product of the 70s. Thus many of my illustrations are from the growing up years and growing up here in Canada. Some of you aren't from the 70s, and some of you didn't grow up in Canada, but that's what I know. In the 70s, and it's still in syndication and in reruns, the most popular comedy of that decade, the era in which I grew up, was a show about a family in which the name of the feature character became a byword for a narrow-minded, bigoted, reactive person. This show was named by TV Guide as, and I quote, "the greatest television character of all time." I visited the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. a number of years ago, and in the Smithsonian is his chair. It's a very popular figure on the tube. I would just have to mention his name, and the stereotype immediately pops into your head. Do you know who I am speaking about? Archie Bunker. Some of you will recognize the name, others, if you didn't grow up, may not, but famous character. Well, one of Archie's famous expressions when he didn't like something, when he was calling something down, I still remember an episode where him and Mr. Jefferson from next door, actually it was Mr. Jefferson's brother from next door, were exchanging these rather rude expressions with one another. And I will not do it justice this morning, but it was kind of the I don't do it well, but did anybody know what that was called? Giving somebody the raspberry. Thank you to the bringers this morning, the Pixons. And I'm sorry you had to hunt for them, because I realized after I had made the list that raspberries, they were pretty well finished by now, but they found some, and they represent this morning's fruit. You can sample them later. So how on earth does raspberries have to do with kindness? Well, I want you to think opposite this morning. If you think of the giving someone the raspberry, kindness is its very opposite. And so it's as close as I could come, but nothing personal to the raspberries, but it helps us to remember. It is the fifth fruit of the Spirit, this opposite of the raspberry, and that is kindness. Next week is goodness, and they are very parallel kinds of terms, and we'll talk about the difference next week as we get into goodness. But this morning, kindness. The word and its various and its variations is used some 19 times in the New Testament, this term. So I looked them up and categorized them into various these categories to help us understand a little bit more about what it means to be kind. It's an obvious word. I think we generally get the meaning, but we want to look a little bit more at it this morning. Kindness, or in some of your translations in Galatians, it may variously be translated also. I think the King James uses the word gentleness. Some translations, goodness. Although goodness then is translated in a different way as well. But specifically, translated or interpreted as the Spirit-inspired goodness of heart. The Spirit-inspired goodness of heart, that is kindness. Or, one author puts it this way, kindness is thoughtful consideration, courteous and kindly action, the delicate ministering of love. Version of the term in 2 Corinthians 6:6 is the term, and this is what one of the translations uses, is the word sweetness. That maybe helps us a little bit. William Barclay, a commentator from another era, said, and I quote, "It is a lovely word. It is a lovely word. Kindness." Sounds nice, doesn't it? A good illustration, and we actually got the word from the Greek, is the term gentleman. Gentle is another translation of this term that we're using for kindness. And that maybe helps us to understand a little bit about what this term encompasses. Just think of everything about a gentleman. That's kindness. The term, both in its verbal and nounal forms, is, well, the noun from the Greek language is the term Christotes. Okay, that's kindness. Christotes. And if you want to write it down, Christotes. Christotes. Now, it's really interesting that the root Christo is parallel to Christos. And that maybe that helps us. Who's Christos? Jesus. And maybe if it'll help you, Christos is Christos. Christ is kind. But that's the term. The name Christos, the verbal form kind, Christotes, kindness, was actually in the first century used as a common slave name. Christos. It was the desired quality of an ideal servant. In Matthew 11:30, Christ's yoke is described as Christos. And some of your translations, easy, gentle. I think also perhaps of and I've experienced this on a number of occasions, a funeral director. Opening the car door for the bereaved widow. Christos. Kind. Gentle. Generally speaking, it means, and as we know, kind, helpful, generous, pleasant, generous. That's the idea of this fruit. Kindness. And again, more specifically, we want to break it down further to help us understand more fully what the Bible actually says this fruit looks like. All right, and so I think I have six of them this morning, six definitions or six aspects of kindness. Number one, as we work our way down, first of all, kindness is a characteristic of the Lord. Kindness is a characteristic of the Lord, as they all are. Remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Spirit is God. These are the ramifications of what it means to be indwelt by the Spirit and to produce the fruit that is characteristic of who God is. So he displays these qualities because they are his through his people. And again, he's kind. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we have a number of verses this morning as we work our way through, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, Peter writes, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is Christos." Good, mine is translated here, but kind. If you have experienced this, put away all this other stuff that is in contrast to it. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. That's a quotation actually from Psalm 34:8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Kind. The Old Testament word that conveys this idea, we've read about it in a number of places already this morning as we read out of the Psalms, is the Hebrew term chesed. It's kind of a C-H-E-S-E-D. The Old King James, I like that translation better, I think, than the new ones. It would translate this word, this term, as loving kindness. Chesed. It's a deep, meaningful characteristic of God in how he deals with his people. Faithfully good and merciful is God. His goodness or his kindness is constantly revealed throughout the scriptures. God is not mean. God is good. God is kind. Psalm 26:3. "For your steadfast love," that's your loving kindness, "is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness." He's loving and he's kind. Psalm 36:7. "How precious is your steadfast love, your kindness, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings." Psalm 63, I read this earlier, verse 3, "Because your steadfast love, your kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you." God is a most kind, loving, gracious, merciful God. That is his nature. He is always kind, always good to his children. That's seen most prominently in the sending of his son, as we will remember in a few minutes. Titus 3, verse 4, "But when the Christotes," the goodness, the kindness, and the loving kindness, this is the love to man of God, "when that appeared, he saved us." Our salvation is simply as a result of his kindness. Not deserved, but his nature is kind. We see the fulfillment of his kindness when, or we will see the fulfillment of his kindness when we will meet him in glory. They say when you get to heaven, people are saying, I want to reunite with my wife or with my children, or that'll be just great, or my best friend. No. The first person you'll want to see is not anybody from this earth. The first person you will want to see when you get to heaven, and the first person you will see, is Jesus Christ himself. in all his glory. Ephesians 2, that he was, that God raised us with him, being Jesus, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In other words, when we get to heaven, we will be just amazed with how kind he was to us. How gentle, how saving, how merciful, how gracious. Now, it's not to be presumed upon, this kindness, that we take advantage of it. We're warned against that. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans 2. It says, or do you presume, it says, on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? See, his kindness is to motivate a response on our behalf. We'll talk about that in just a while. But it's not to be presumed upon. In Romans 11 and verse 22. Romans 11, 22. Note then the kindness and the severity of God toward those who have fallen. Severity toward those who have fallen, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. And so this is where we must begin when we talk about kindness. God is kind. There's also his wrath, because he's also holy. These things all come together, but he doesn't want anyone to perish. He's patient, wanting all to come into a knowledge that of him. That is his kindness, in spite of our delinquency, you might say. So when you think of kind, I don't know if you see God in those terms, but God is kind. Secondly, not only is kindness a characteristic of the Lord, and that's where we must begin, but secondly, kindness is commanded for every believer. He tells us to be kind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3, 12. Put on then, as clothing, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, krestotes. Put it on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 3 to 6. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, not good. In the middle of all this affliction, he says, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by purity, knowledge, patience, and kindness. It is commanded of us in every and all situations to battle the negative with kindness. Put this stuff off, the author says, and put this on. Get rid of the rage and the malice and all that stuff. And even in the midst of hardships and afflictions, be kind. Now that isn't always easy, is it? my natural response to someone who does not like what I do, who offends me, who makes life difficult for me, my natural response is not to be kind. The Christian way is hard. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit in us. That's why Jesus says, turn the other cheek. But that's not natural. When someone asks you to go with them 1 mile, say, I'll go with you too. It's kindness. It's so unnatural to be kind, especially in situations where we don't feel appreciated. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. It says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does, and here's our word, good. Christos. No one does kindness. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues and on it goes. See, it's not a natural inclination for us to be kind. But that's the higher calling. Jesus talks about the good tree bearing good fruit and the bad tree bearing bad fruit. The good tree is the tree that bears the fruit of kindness in spite of circumstances. So the next time somebody tells you off, makes it difficult for you, mocks you because you're a believer, how are you going to respond? Sock them in the face. Kindness. And it's commanded of us. We are to do this. Thirdly, kindness is a characteristic of the Lord. Kindness is commanded for every believer. Thirdly, kindness, and we've already alluded to some of this, kindness is contrasted with a bitter spirit. Kindness is contrasted with a bitter spirit. It's the opposite. It's not the raspberry, we might say. This idea is repeatedly brought up in the epistles. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Raspberries. But instead be, here's our word, Christotes to one another. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Sometimes you can better understand a term about what something is by contrasting it to what it's not. And here's a place where that takes place. Kindness is the opposite of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. Malice is a desire to harm. These are all violent terms. Right? They're loud terms. They're rambunctious, kind of irritable kinds of terms. But that's not kindness. Kindness is calm and gentle. It's controlled emotions. One author from another generation put it this way. The early Christians, by means of kindness, commended themselves to others. People noticed that they did not retaliate. God too is kind, and we are admonished to become like him in this respect. Now, practically, when the kind person hears a piece of malicious gossip, he does not run to the telephone to let others in on the delectable tidbit. That's not kind. When someone's faults are pointed out to him, he tries, if he can, at all honesty, he tries, if he can at all, do so in honesty to offset these failings by pointing out the criticized individual's good qualities. That's kind. But it's kind of fun to be malicious, isn't it, sometimes? It's kind of, maybe it boosts our own sense of esteem or whatever, but the Christian way is the way of kindness. It's always good sometimes to hear of some people where you've heard, I never heard him say a bad word about anyone. That's admirable. I think of Jesus, he was kind. I think mentioned this a few weeks ago. I don't think, you know, he participated in the gossip of the disciples. Get a load of Bartholomew. Yeah, I saw that. What an idiot. It's not Jesus. It's not malicious. It's not bitter. Kindness doesn't seek to tear down, but to build up. Kindness doesn't revel in negative, but it seeks the positive. Kindness. Pastor who spoke in our church a number of years ago, David Hawking, wrote a book. This is actually out on 1 Corinthians, where kindness is mentioned. Here's what he says. One of the most beautiful qualities of spiritual love is that of kindness. Kindness is the opposite of attack, harshness, or insensitivity to human need. Kindness wants to help and be a blessing more than a burden or a hardship. Kindness was a friend who, upon hearing that my car was in the garage, offered me one of his two cars to drive as long as I needed it. Kindness was the way an elderly lady told me that the way I spoke to another person was not good. She did it in private and started with words of love, support, and encouragement. She was protective but not demanding. She cared because she loved me and wanted me to be effective with others at all times. Kindness came when a dear friend who knew of my hurt and disappointment prayed in my presence for God's comfort, wisdom, and peace. The immediate result was a calm and deep awareness that all would be well. Kindness is a warm smile when there is pressure, disagreement, and potential harm to human relationships. Kindness is a note saying that you were missed. Kindness. It's a choice, isn't it? The choice between the flesh and the spirit. And that's what Paul writes about. That's the context here. This is the fruit of the spirit. The flesh tears down and destroys itself seeking, but the spirit is encouraging and supportive and builds up. We've all experienced unkindness and kindness. Who do you prefer? And do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And there's a model, there's a testimony, just in the terms of how you respond and relate to other people. Often it's reflected simply in the way that we say things. I can think of 1,000 illustrations, but I buy some produce from the produce store, whatever it may be. I come home, I get to the bottom of the grape bag, and a whole bunch of them are rotten. So I go back. I say the same thing in two ways. One is rude and one is kind. These grapes are rotten. Look, half of them are, how can you sell these things? And look at the price you charge. Good thing I didn't eat one. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you know. And that has many ramifications in relationships or whatever. Or, I bought these grapes here earlier this morning, and yeah, I found a few rotten ones on the bottom. Oh, sorry, sir. I know. Or, you go to McDonald's, and they miscalculated the cost of your Big Mac meal, and they don't give you enough change back. Silly little thing, but for us thrifty people, anyway. Hey, you're short. Don't your computers work? Or isn't that supposed to be, oh, sorry, sir. You know, you can multiply it in 1,000 different ways. Raise it up a notch. Someone severely mistreats you at work. You heard something. Go in his office. This is what I heard. Would you shut up about that? Or, is there a problem? I'm hearing some things, and I just want to make sure that, right? There are always two ways of approaching an issue. The way of malice and the way of kindness. Simple, everyday kinds of illustrations. But it is contrasted with a bitter spirit. Four. Kindness is a characteristic of the Lord. It is commanded for every believer. It is contrasted with a bitter spirit. Four, kindness is corrupted by bad company. Kindness is corrupted by bad company. You become like the people you're with. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. You think, no, don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. The word for morals. Christos. Bad company corrupts good kindness. Bad people change the way you relate to others. It doesn't allow the spirit opportunity to function because you're being reprogrammed with the way you should respond, because that's how they respond. We become like the people we hang around with. Spend time with critical negative gossips, and we become critical negative gossips. We want to produce this fruit. We can't be living in the mold of the world. Again, we remind you, we need to be in the vine, spending time with the Lord and with His people, which affirms, again, our need for fellowship with other believers. You say, well, I can do church at home. No offense if you're watching, but no, you really can't. Because you can't be kind to one another and cultivate your own kindness or any of the fruit in isolation. You do this with other people, where you experience it and you give it. But you're invited to come here and experience some of our kindness. That's especially true if we're new to the faith and where associations are so important. There's a different way of relating. But again, for all of us, it comes back again to that daily walk with the Lord where we're walking with Him, we're in the vine, and He's producing His fruit because we know that's what He is like. And we're constantly reminding ourselves of what Jesus was like. And it always comes back to that. But it is corrupted by bad company. Fifthly, Kindness is considerate towards other people. Okay, now, we've alluded to this in many ways, but now specifically, kindness is considerate toward, use the word other, all people. It's just the way we operate. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, love is patient, love is kind. Luke chapter 6. Luke and chapter 6. But I say to you, verse 27, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Or we might say, be kind as He is kind, because that's how He treats those who rebel against Him, with kindness. To all people, not just your friends, to your disruptive neighbors as well. Yeah, it's easy to be nice to the people we like, right? Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. Those we enjoy being with are easy to be kind to, but what are people we just don't enjoy being with? This is where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. We're told to be kind to our enemies, whoever they might be. Our neighbors who party too long, a boss who treats us poorly, a spouse who takes us for granted, children who rebel, a difficult co-worker. Be kind as our Heavenly Father is kind. I quote an early church father. A man who is wrathful with us is a sick man. We must apply a plaster to his heart, love. We must treat him kindly, speak to him gently, lovingly. And if there is not deep-rooted malice against us within him, but only a temporary fit of anger, you will see how his heart or his malice will melt away through your kindness and love. How good will conquer evil. A Christian must always be kind, gracious, and wise in order to conquer evil by good. Kindness is considerate toward all people. And finally, in number six, kindness is characteristic of the Lord, commanded for every believer, contrasted with a bitter spirit, corrupted by bad company, considerate toward all people, and then comforting to those it touches. This is the effect of kindness. And again, we've already alluded to some of this, but specifically, it is comforting to those it touches. Matthew chapter 11, 28. In the words of Jesus, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am Christos, kind, gentle, however you want to translate that, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is Christos, easy, and my burden is light. Kindness removes the heaviness, the struggle of situations and people. It's very and quite disarming. Kindness. It says his yoke is easy, some translated comfortable or pleasant or not burdensome. This is the way of Jesus. Or for those of us who may think he's a leader, a master who's very demanding. It's just not true. He's Christos. It's kind, gentle. That's his way. And we learn from him. Someone said, this kindness that is demonstrated by Christ, it does not chaff or irk or gale. It's not harsh. It doesn't rub. It's gentle. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus at the end of his answer to the question on fasting and uses the illustration of old and new wineskin says, "And no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says, the old is good." The word for good here as it applies to wine may help us. The older wine, it says, the word here applying to it is good. We might say mellow. Aged with gentleness, this wine. It's a word that refers to taste. How do I taste? You know what? Some people are quite crunchy. Peanut butter, right? You get the crunchy kind. I kind of actually like the crunchy kind, but and some is smooth. How do I taste? What kind of wine am I? Bitter or smooth, mellow. In Romans chapter 16, it's used in a negative sense, but it helps us also understand what the word means. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. That's 1 Corinthians 16, 18. Appeal to you, brothers, he says, watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have. Avoid them, he says, these people who cause divisions. For he says, for such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. The term used there for smooth talk, right? We still use the term. He's a smooth talker. What does that mean? That he's a salesman. He's really cunning, but it sounds really nice. Smooth talker. Yeah, you buy this car and it'll never die. The word for smooth there, smooth talker, is our term. Christotes. Actually, it's a compound. Christologias. Logos meaning word, smooth worder, smooth talker. But the word is smooth. kindness is smooth, gentle, delightful, and it has a positive effect upon those that it touches. Blaise Pascal, a scientist from another era, said, and I quote, well, it's also interesting, a lot of the scientists that we read about out of history were evangelical believers because they saw God's hand in what they were discovering. But Blaise Pascal said, kind words produce their own image in men's souls, and a beautiful image it is. They soothe and quiet and comfort the hearer. They shame him out of his sour, morose, unkind feelings. We have not yet begun to use kind words in such abundance as they ought to be used. There's power and effectiveness in being kind. Proverbs 15:1. If you don't remember anything, maybe this verse, just take it home. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. There you have it. It's effective. Responding to harshness with kindness often can change the situation. Couldn't leave this morning without quoting a song. Now, where is it? Here we are. Glenn Campbell. Not too spiritual, but I think he was a believer, I understand, when he passed away. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, and stop, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness, yes, show a little kindness, just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. Don't walk around the down and out. Lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You got to try a little kindness. Just show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. I conclude with the words that were spoken many, many, many times. Whether you agreed with the approach taken with respect to the advice that was given or not, we'll leave that to the side. But the words, be kind, be calm, be safe, our own medical health officer, Dr. Bonnie Henry, and aside from what we might think of all the recommendations, that one's biblical. Be kind. She probably didn't realize she was affirming the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but there you have it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word again this morning. We thank you, first of all, that you are kind, a kind and loving God, gentle. A soul is for the soul, easy, not harsh, not bitter, but good and kind and most gracious. We pray this morning that you would empower us to be more like that. Oh, it's so easy to run off at the mouth because you're ticked. May we be infused and guided by the Spirit and the produce that he brings to our lives. Lord, help us this week and show us an opportunity to be kind. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to move to a time of communion.